Lord Jesus, we do praise you for your great love revealed to us supremely at the cross. And we pray you'd reveal more of your love to us and help us to live in response to it. Amen. Great. Children, you don't need to come to the front. Children and young people, you can stay where you are if you like. But I want to know, how have you said thank you to your mums today? How have you said thank you to your mums? Lucy? Lots of Mother's Day cards. Brilliant. Fantastic. What else? Yes, Sarah Jane. You did the dishes. You didn't do the dishes. You thought about doing the dishes. Brilliant. You thought about doing the dishes. Okay. Susanna? Can't hear. Gave her flowers. You gave her flowers. Brilliant. Okay, well, here are some thoughts as to what other things you might have done. So we've got flowers. Anyone decide to try out their skills in the kitchen for their mum? Anyone do that? No? Not to worry. Not to worry. And what about a hug? Have there been lots of hugs around today? Okay. Anyway, you'll know that week by week at St. Mark's, we look at the Bible. We hear God speak to us in the Bible. And today, in our reading from Ephesians, which we haven't read yet, I realise, but it specifically talks to children. So I thought it would be a bit silly to, after you guys have left, to talk about that bit. So I thought, why don't we talk about it while you guys are still here? Okay? And this is what it says. The first verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So in other words, on Mother's Day, the best way you can love your mums is by obeying them. Okay, that's what the Bible says in today's reading. The best way you can love your mums is by obeying them. It doesn't just say that. It gives reasons as well. Okay, so this is what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, so it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. So who wants a good and happy life? Anyone here want a good and happy life? I think most of us do, don't we? Okay. The Bible says the best way to ensure that, if you're a child, is to obey your parents. Okay. Now, that might come as a bit of a surprise, because sometimes we think, well, I want to do this, and my parents say, do this, and how does that work? But that's what it says. So why is it right? Why is it right? Well, partly because your parents have more experience of life than you do, okay? So even though you think you know the right thing, your parents are a bit older than you, they've got a bit more experience, and the chances are they've got a better idea of what's good for you than you have, okay? But there's something else even more important going on here, I think. And that is that every single one of us needs to learn to obey someone else. And every single one of us needs to learn that we can't always have our own way. Okay? We need to learn those things. It's a vital part of life to learn to obey someone else and to learn we can't always have our own way. I know people who are adults. Children, are you listening? I know people who are adults, okay, who haven't learned those lessons, and they are very sad because they want their own way and they don't realize that always going their own way leads to them being very sad. They can't have proper friendships. They can't have proper relationships with people. And of course, ultimately, we can't have a proper relationship with God because God is a loving Heavenly Father that we're to listen to and obey. So this Mother's Day, it's great that you've done some of those things we looked at earlier, bought flowers, given cards, thought about doing the washing up. But also, remember to obey your mums and your dads. And if you find it hard, pray. Ask God to help you and he will answer your prayer. Why don't we pray now for God's help with that? Dear God, we thank you that Your word tells us what is good for us. And we pray that this Mother's Day, we thank you for our mums, and we pray that above all, you would help us to obey them. Amen. Do you have that reading open again on page 1177 in the Bibles, page 1177. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would speak to us now through your word. We pray that it would be relevant and that it would help us to know how we can live for you in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. On this Mother's Day, I want to ask, where do you turn to for parenting advice? I asked this question this morning. We had a Thanksgiving service at St. Peter's, and we did a poll, except everyone was too shy. I got people to put their hands up, but nobody did. So I won't do that now. But maybe you ask your parents for advice. Maybe you look online, Mumsnet or something else like that. Maybe you have been on a parenting course. Maybe you've spoken to your friends. And all of those give good advice, don't they? All of those have helpful things to offer. But above all, as Christians, we can go to the Bible. And today's passage is one of the key passages in the Bible. So we believe that the Bible is God's word to his world. It contains wisdom for relationships, for work, for family life. And of course, it speaks of how we can know God personally through Jesus Christ. And if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you'll know that at the moment we're working our way through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And in the first half of the letter, Paul talks about what God has done for his people in Jesus. I'm missing out all these slides. What God has done for his people in Jesus Christ. He's adopted his people to be his beloved children. He's forgiven them. He's given them new life and new hearts, and his spirit to transform them. And who's this for? Well, Paul says it's for anyone who believes. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message, when you believed. But then the second half of the letter is all about, well, what does it look like? What difference does it make to be a Christian? And today we come to day-to-day relationships. We looked last week at marriage, husbands and wives, and today it's children and parents, and also relationships at work. The real nitty-gritty of what it looks like to be a Christian on Tuesday morning, wherever we might be on a Tuesday morning, or Wednesday evening, rushing to get your son to football practice, bit of personal testimony there. We're going to start with the second half, because probably as soon as we heard the word slaves, we thought that's a bit odd, and we'll be thinking about that all the way through, so we might as well deal with it straight away. So, verses 5 to 9, what I've called slaves and masters. What is all this talk about slavery and slaves? Slavery is terrible, isn't it? And we'd have thought that Paul would say that if there were slaves around, he would say, well, slaves, do whatever you need to do to get yourself set free, whether by words or, if necessary, by the sword. There's a few things we need to know about slavery. There were slaves in the Roman Empire at the time, about 60 million of them. They made up by far the majority of the workforce. They weren't treated in the way we think of slaves being treated. They had rights. Many were well looked after. They could be set free. And their masters sometimes would even set them up in their own business. In another letter he writes to Philemon, Paul does ask that slave master to set a slave free. So Paul is in favor of slaves being set free. And of course, Christians ultimately were responsible for the end of the African slave trade through William Wilberforce, a strong Christian from Hull. But Paul isn't writing to make comments on the rights and wrongs of slavery. Actually, what he's writing about is bigger than that. And that should make us stop and think, shouldn't it? What could possibly be bigger and more important than the rights and wrongs of slavery? Well, we see it five times in these verses. So starting from verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Verse 6, obey them as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, because you know the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. And then verse 9, don't threaten them, masters, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. So what's Paul saying? He's saying that whatever your position in life, whether slave or employee or boss, whether child or parent, whether husband or wife or partner, we should realize that Jesus Christ is our good and loving Lord. He is our leader. And we should live every part of our lives under the loving and good lordship of Christ. Now, it may be that for some of us, as soon as we hear that, again, we feel uncomfortable, because in our culture, we don't like the idea, do we, of having to serve anyone or being under the lordship of anyone apart from ourselves. I will be Lord of myself. No one else will, we say. But of course, the problem with that is it's not possible, because we all serve something, something we think is good for us. For some of us, it might be a football team. Going where the football team's going, accepting the demands they place on us because we think it'll make us happy. We may not think of it as serving, but actually, that's what it is, isn't it? And each of us probably can think of something or a few things that we serve in that way, whether it's a relationship or a job or a house or our family. The question is not do we serve a Lord, but which Lord do we serve? As Christians, I hope we're convinced that Jesus Christ is the best, most loving, most wonderful Lord. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. The demands he places on us are for our good. He proved his love beyond doubt by dying on the cross for us on Good Friday. So we joyfully serve him as the one who wants what's best for us. And if you want to hear more about that, why not grab hold of the book that was advertised last week? There are some copies at the back. What's it called, John? Before you say I don't believe, do grab one of those. £2.50 bargain. Okay, so how does all of this apply to us? We're not slaves. But actually, most of us are employees in some kind of workplace. Some of us are bosses, and what Paul is saying applies to us as well. Because if we're a Christian, when we're at work, we're serving Christ. We obey our boss in order to obey Christ. That's what Paul's saying. As we choose to obey our boss, even when we don't agree with our boss, we're choosing to obey Christ, because Christ has put our boss in authority over us. So what might that look like? Well, verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Perhaps you have a boss who's difficult to work with. You're just thinking now, aren't you, about tomorrow morning? Well, God says that as you obey that difficult boss, you're obeying Christ. So you won't answer back. You won't grumble or gossip behind their back. You'll talk respectfully to them. Verse 6. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Maybe you're someone who's fairly unsupervised and you can sort of get on with doing your own thing. Well, remember, Christ is watching and Christ is the one that you're serving. Verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know the Lord will reward each one for what good they do. Maybe you feel your contribution at work isn't appreciated. You're not valued. Well, this reminds us that Christ sees everything we do, and he's pleased with you, and he will reward you. Does that mean you should always obey your boss, whatever he says or she says? And what if they ask you to do something that's wrong? What if they ask you to work hours that stop you seeing the family or going to church? Well, remember, you're obeying your boss as a way of obeying Christ. So if your boss asks you to do something that goes against Christ's will, well, we need to say no. Now, obviously, great wisdom is needed to know where to draw the line, and we can help each other with that. We can pray with each other. Maybe something will be raised that you need to pray about after the service today, and if so, that's fine. Just grab someone and talk things through and pray with them. Maybe you yourself are a boss. Verse 9. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them, since you know he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. As you work out how to work with the people you oversee, remember you have a boss as well, Jesus Christ, and treat them well as he treats you wonderfully well. And if we're retired, we might think this passage doesn't apply to us, but we've seen the principle, haven't we? Live every part of life with Christ as Lord. So if you're retired or unemployed or at home, how can you do that? Live every part of life with Christ as Lord. Well, one obvious thing is to get involved, isn't it, in serving in church, in the community, giving your time in that way. Well, that's the second half of the passage. What about the first half? We've talked about children. What about the parents? Verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate, that can be fathers and mothers as well, do not exasperate your children, instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What does it mean to exasperate your children? I had to look that up because I didn't really know what that meant. And it means to irritate or to make angry, according to my dictionary anyway. How do we do that to our children? Well, I'm sure we can think of lots of ways. Don't think too hard about them. Expecting too much of them, putting pressure on them, ignoring them, leaving them to do their own thing all the time. But think as well about what it's the opposite of. Paul says, don't exasperate, instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And that suggests to me that we exasperate our children when our focus is on something other than Jesus Christ. Remember the principle, live your life, every part of life, with Christ as Lord. Well, what else can we focus on other than Christ? I think we can focus on ourselves, self-centered parenting, or we can focus on our children, child-centered parenting. So what would self-centered parenting look like? Well, it might mean looking for an easy life, fobbing off the children all the time. Now, I could be guilty of this. I've had a busy day. All I want to do is to sit down and watch something or do my own thing. And then the request comes, Dad, will you play with me? And it's okay to say no once or twice, but if I say it all the time, it will exasperate them. Children need their parents' attention, don't they? You know, they know when they're being fobbed off. But there's another kind of self-centered parenting as well. That's teaching them to behave in a particular way to make ourselves as parents look good. Do this, don't do that. Otherwise our friends and our family will think we're bad parents. I think our children can see straight through that. They can see when we're doing it for ourselves. So that's self-centered parenting. Then there's child-centered parenting. And this is when we always give our children what they want. We always let them have their own way. We don't set any limits or boundaries. And again, that frustrates children because they need boundaries. They need to know what they can and can't do. I found that our children know they're loved when they know what the limits are. Well, what's the alternative? Verse 4. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. In our family, and we're not setting ourselves up to be perfect. If you know us, then you know we're not. But we find that when there's a focus on God and on Jesus as the Lord we're serving, it stops us from being self-centered or child-centered. And everything else works. So what does it look like? Well, there are at least three aspects to it. Teaching, modeling, and discipline. So teaching. In terms of Christian teaching, I sometimes say that church is like a vitamin supplement. It's very helpful, but it's not enough by itself. What a child needs is daily Christian teaching as a family. And that can sound scary, but it's really not. Every family can sit down at the dinner table and talk about their day and think about what difference it makes to be a Christian. Every family can look at part of the Bible or a children's Bible and think about that together. Every family can say thank you to God and sorry for certain things. So that's teaching. Then there's modeling. We may not be aware of this, but we have a massive influence on our children. They will follow our example, whether we want them to or not. If we spend lots of time doing something, they'll learn that thing is important. If we have a habit, good or bad, they'll copy it, particularly in their early years. If we make it a priority to go to church every week, they'll learn going to church is important, and so on. And then discipline. One of the ways God has given parents to teach their children what is right and wrong is by disciplining them when they go the wrong way. And discipline isn't just punishment. For Christians, Jesus has taken all the punishment for our wrongdoing on himself on the cross. It's not punishment. Rather, it's a way of teaching our children the right way to go. It says, you've gone this wrong way. I love you too much to go this way, which causes harm. So I'll use discipline to teach you the best way. So teaching, modeling, discipline, ways in which we can bring up our children with God-centered parenting. And we're hoping that at some point we might be able to start a course for people thinking about these issues and what the Bible has to say about parenting. So do mention it to me. Do have a word with me if you'd be interested in that. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. We've seen that every part of life is to be lived under the lordship of Christ. We've seen what that means for workers, obeying our bosses, because as we do that, we're serving Jesus. We've seen what it means for parents, bringing up our children in a God-centered way. As I said earlier, you may well want to talk these things through with someone or pray these things through afterwards, in which case, please do take the opportunity to do that. And why don't we just pause for a moment now to think about one particular thing we're going to take away.